Good morning, everybody. Once again, welcome to Encounter Life Church. I'm Pastor Dwayne. I'm so glad and excited that you joined us this morning. God is good, and we're looking forward to Him doing some great and amazing things. Listen, if you are new to Encounter Life and this is your first time joining us online, we're excited that you're here. We're excited that you chose this Sunday morning to worship with us online. We pray that you were encouraged by our time of worship and song just before our time of the word this morning. We pray that you were uplifted and that your heart is prepared to hear from God. But if this is your first time here, if you're new following us, we want to hear about it. So if you would text the word new to 301-804-2520, text NEW to 301-804-2520. We just want to know who's here, who's following, who's joining us. And we just wanted to say what's up. And we're glad that you chose to take this time out of your Sunday morning to worship with us. We're just excited what God is doing here. We, over the last several weeks, I think this is week six for us, as we're talking about songs for the soul. We're dealing in the book of Psalms. And we call it songs for the soul because, you know, songs have a way of healing and bringing putting us in a good place in time. I know I love music. I don't know about you. I love music, and I love especially gospel music. And it has a way of really encouraging us during times when we need it. And Lord knows, in this season that we're in our world, we need some encouragement. So what better place to find encouragement in God's word than the book of Psalms, an entire book in the Bible that is a list of different songs where we can get encouragement, instruction on how to live the lives that God would have us to live. And man, we have been truly challenged and blessed. Our first week, we talk about the reason why we sing. We said it because, you know, when life brings you drama, and sometimes life gives you lemons, you got to make lemonade. And it's hard to sing. It's hard to feel joyous. It's hard to want to praise when you got a lot of stuff going on that may be negative. And we looked at the reason why we sing in our first week, and we got in some encouragement from that. And number two, this week number two, we talked about living the blessed life. We kind of jumped off on the song by the Clark sisters. I like living this kind of life, living the blessed life. We looked at Psalm chapter one and found out how we can live that blessed life that God has for us. And then we jumped into, after we dealt in Psalm 1, we talked about He's still calling my name. Man, you know, we all, in our life, we want to live the blessed life. So sometimes we fall short. Sometimes we mess up. But we found out that even when we mess up, we serve a God who's still calling our name. We looked at Psalm chapter 51 and found out that David was a man who made major mistakes in life, just like you and I make major mistakes. But God still calls him a man after His own heart. And we wanted you to know that God still is calling your name, no matter what it is you've done, no matter how far you've fallen, that the God of the universe loves you. He has a plan for you, and He's still calling your name. And then after that, we talked about I'm not forgotten, that God has designed you and made you special. We looked at Psalm 139, and we saw that how God has told us that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you're special, and that, you know, sometimes we struggle. We dealt with this on Mother's Day. Moms sometimes can feel forgotten. Moms can feel like they're invisible. And it's anybody, all of us at times, we may feel insignificant or struggle with our self-esteem. And we looked at what we have to believe what God says about us in His Word. So we looked in Psalm 139 and discovered that God said, you're not forgotten. I know your name. You are fearfully, wonderfully made, and I made you special, and you got to stand on that truth. And then finally, last week, we talked about how to deal with anger. We looked at the song by Jonathan McReynolds called People. Deliver me from people. Because you know what? People can hurt you. People can make you angry. We're in a climate now where there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of rage, there's a lot of division in our country, there's a racial divide, and we're dealing with an issue recently with Ahmaud Arbery and the violence perpetrated, a young man gunned down just because of the color of his skin, and there are people angry, and we had to talk about how we deal with anger when people hurt us, when people disappoint us, when people do us wrong. We looked at Psalm 73 and how to deal with our anger last week. And we just got some encouragement how we got to just be real with God about how we feel. You know, be real with God about how we feel. And then run into His presence so He can renew our perspective. And when you run into his presence and get your perspective renewed, then you recognize who your real enemy is. You got to recognize who your real enemy is. And then it's so important to replace rage, the rage you're feeling, with worship. And then finally, we ask you to remember that revenge belongs to God. That's where we were last week. And today, in week six, in Songs for the Soul, the title of our message today is simply, Wait on Him. You know, wait is like a four-letter word. It's a four-letter word in the Bible. I don't know about you, but I hate waiting. I hate waiting. And this morning, we're going to talk about waiting on God. Especially, you know, I hate waiting for anything. I hate waiting for my food. I hate waiting in traffic. I don't know about you. I'll take longer to get somewhere just so I don't have to sit and wait. I will just drive around and take a detour just so I can keep moving, because I don't like to wait. We don't like for our computers to load up. Man, I just can't remember what it was like, man, when we had dial-up internet. Right now, when a video was buffering, our kids get frustrated. I know our kids now are in this age, where technology age, and my children, if a video on YouTube is buffering, man, they're upset. They slamming the tablet down. There's something wrong with this. We want it right away. We're in a right now society. We're in a fast food society. We don't even have to wait for our food. We don't even have to wait in line to get groceries anymore. You can go Instacart. You don't have to do your DoorDash. You can do, you know, Postmates. You can get your food. And we don't want to wait for anything. We like everything instant. And because we're kind of that instant society, that fast food, that microwave, have it your way world, sometimes we approach our relationship with God that way. And this morning, what we want to deal about is talking about the topic, wait on Him. You know, I love that song, "The Lord is my light and my salvation," from Psalm chapter 27. Whom shall I fear? Of whom will I be afraid? I will wait on You. And today, there's some of us who are in a waiting pattern. Some of you right now are in the waiting room. What do I mean by being in the waiting room? Some of us are waiting on God right now. We waiting on some answers. We're in that situation where, God, what are You saying? You're looking for God to move. You're waiting for an answer from God. But there are oftentimes He places us in that waiting room. And that's a difficult thing to be in, because we like to have things instant. But what we're going to do is learn some principles from God's word on how to wait, and even why God has us waiting. Because you know what? God's doing something in this waiting, in that waiting room. So can we talk about that today? Let's go to a time of prayer, and then we're going to get into God's word, Psalm 27 today. Dear God, we are so grateful. Lord, help us to first remember who it is that we're talking about, that we're waiting on, Lord God, the God of the universe, that You are sovereign and You're in control. I pray, Lord, that there's somebody today who's in the waiting room, somebody who's waiting on You for an answer, maybe waiting on You for an answer for healing, waiting on for a financial miracle, or Lord God, something in their job, a miracle in their marriage or in their relationships. Lord God, they're just waiting on direction for career. Don't know which way to go, Lord God, just waiting on You. Help us, Lord God, to wait patiently. Help us not to move ahead of You. And God, help us to understand that You've got our best interests at heart. I pray that someone be encouraged by Your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when it comes to waiting, first of all, you know, you and I are bound by time. And before we get anything, we're going to look at our passage this morning, Psalm chapter 27. I'm going to look at two verses. Psalm 27, this is one of my favorite psalms, and we're going to reference some of the other verses later. But let's look at Psalm chapter 27, verses 13 and 14 at the end of this psalm. Psalm 27, 13 and 14 says, "I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Verse 14, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." You know what? You got to be confident that you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God is doing something. And sometimes He has us to wait. We always tell our kids, you know, what God has three ways He can answer you: yes, no, or wait. And I hate that wait. But sometimes there's some good things that happen in the wait. First of all, before we even get into any of the meat of this today, what you got to understand about God is that our God sits outside of time. You know, see, when we're talking about waiting, you and I are restricted by time and space. So when I'm looking at, man, God, I'm waiting on You to bring me that wife. And God, what I've been waiting, I've been trying to keep myself pure. You tell me to be pure sexually before you, God. I'm trying to hold myself till marriage, and I'm waiting on you. And the time is passing. I've been waiting for a year. I'm waiting for 2 years. I've been waiting for 3 years, 5 years. And we're looking at the time, but you got to understand, first of all, perspective is everything. Expectation is everything. What you guys have to understand, all of us have to understand, is that God sits outside of time. He is not restricted by time. He is eternal. There is no ending, no beginning. He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and he is the God who says he is what I am. To God, everything is in the present tense. Everything is in the present tense. So he's seeing Dwayne right now. He's seeing me, and he's seeing Moses all in now. Everything is now to him. So while you're saying, God, it's taken me all this time for me to get to where I want to be, for me to get this made, or for me to get this job, or for me to be where I want to be in my career. Guess what? You got to understand. God says, listen, to him, 1,000 years is like one day, and a day is like 1,000 years. Our God is timeless. You got to get that through your head first. So while you're saying it's taking a long time, God said, you know what? It's all happening in the present tense to me. So that's the God that we're dealing with. He's not restricted by time. You got to grasp onto that first. But what there's some things out, once you get that in your mind, then there's some four things. There's four principles about waiting on God that I want to leave with you today. And then I'm going to be out of your way this morning. Is that okay? Four things that we want to talk about waiting on God. And I'm just going to use the four letter word. It's a four letter word. Wait. Wait. Wait is not necessarily a bad word, y'all. It's a good thing. W-A-I-T. While you're waiting on God to answer you, while you're waiting on God to give you direction for that career, while you're waiting on God for that mate, while you're waiting on God to set you free in your body or for your finances or whatever it is you're looking for God to do in your life, I want you to W. Number one, the first thing I want you to do is worship instead of whine. Start worshiping and stop whining. You know, when you wait, man, if you got kids, I use my kids all the time because, man, they give you so many good examples. But I'm going to tell you, children can whine and whine because they do not like to wait. Mommy, when is the food going to be ready? Daddy, are we almost there? I told you last summer we traveled from D.C., the D.C. area, all the way to Florida driving. And I'm telling you, do you know how sick and tired I could get of you asking me, are we almost there? No, we have no, we're nowhere close, bro. We're nowhere close. But so what we can do is, man, I'm tired of this ride. Oh, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of waiting. I've been trying to keep myself pure for this long. God, I've been trying to live for you and do what's right, and it's not working. So, kind of going back to last week, and we looked in the Psalm of Asaph in Psalm 73. And Asaph said, I've been trying to do the right thing and the wicked are prospering. God, I've been waiting on you to get back at my enemies and it's not happening. You start, you know, it's so easy for us to whine, but God says, is telling you, instead of whining while you're waiting, instead of whining, start worshiping. Start worshiping. Why do I worship instead of whine? See, I worship instead of whine because I recognize who it is who has me waiting. Who it is, I'm in the waiting room, and God, I'm waiting on God. I recognize who it is that I'm waiting on, and I'm waiting on God, and God is good, and he's got plans for my life. And he's promised you, he's already promised, he said, I know the plans I have for you, they're for good, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. He's promised to work all things out together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So God, if you got me waiting, if I haven't got the answer right now, guess what? I'm going to worship you. What God is calling you to do while you're in the waiting room, begin to worship him and stop complaining, stop whining. If you look at Psalm 27, if you go back up to verse 1, Psalm 27, verse 1, he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Go down to verse 4. This is one of my favorite passages. What he's doing right here, he's not whining while he's waiting. He says, this is what, one thing I ask from the Lord. This only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. That is worship. He says, listen, God, while I'm waiting for you to answer, while I'm waiting for you to move, one thing that I desire is to dwell in your house and inquire in your temple all of the days of my life and to behold your beauty. Let me, this is an opportunity. The waiting room is an opportunity for you to get intimate and close with God. What better time for you to get close with God? There are some of us now, we're in a waiting room. You're in a waiting pattern right now because of what's going on. The coronavirus has got the whole world waiting. It's got everybody waiting. We just still in school. We're waiting on schools to open. We're waiting on the stores to open. We're waiting on jobs to start back up. We're waiting on so much. I'm waiting. You're waiting on the motor vehicle to get back open. We're waiting on God. And while he's got you waiting, why don't you worship him? Worship him. Spend time in the presence of God, getting intimate with God. That's what he's doing right now. Instead of whining, you know what? It can easily change your perspective, change your focus when you begin to worship instead of complain. Kind of reminds me of last week. Asaph said, listen, I was beefing. I was upset until I went into the sanctuary of the Most High. I got a chance to spend time in worship and begin to exalt him and begin to acknowledge who God is and begin to get more comfortable in his presence. Right now, while you're waiting, worship. Spend some time every single day on your face before God. Maybe God has you in this waiting pattern because he said, listen, I want to be closer to you. You know, Lorna Harris used to have a song years ago called I Miss My Time With You. Those moments together, I need to be with you each day. And it hurts me when you say you're too busy. You know, maybe God has you waiting because he said, you know what? You're not close enough to me. You haven't recognized who I am. So I want you to spend time just acknowledging me for who I am. Begin to reflect. What you can do in the waiting room, a part of worshiping him, is begin to reflect on how God has answered your prayers in the past. See, what you got to do right now while you're waiting on God to give you direction for your future, look back and chronicle, and I pray you've done it, written down some things that God has done for you in the past so that you can reflect on it right now in your present. And he can say, God, yes, I might be waiting. I'm going to be still here. I may be waiting for you, but I've seen how you provided for me in the past. I've seen how you opened doors for me in the past. You know, I never forget. I remember when I was coming out of podiatry school. I'm a podiatrist, many of you know, and I had to get a residency. I wanted a residency. And I was applying for my residency programs, and I thought I had the program that I was going to be in. And man, you know, I was excited. I got this program, and then when I got the residency program that I thought was going to give me all the training that I needed, then they told me, guess what? The hospital was out of funding. And that they weren't even going to be able to pay me. I can come, but I wasn't even going to be able to be paid. And you know what I ended up doing during that time? I got nervous. I started making phone calls. But then, you know what I started doing? I just started praying and crying before the Lord, worshiping the Lord, believing God, and remembering what God had done. And do you know, did he not only answer my prayer, provide funding for that, but he did it exceeding abundantly above all I could even imagine. What God is calling you to do is worship him in the waiting room. Worship him, don't whine. That's the first thing, W. Worship, don't whine. But the next letter in wait is A. You know what you got to do also while you're waiting? You got to, listen, what you got to do, abstain. Abstain means to stay away from, resist the temptation, abstain from assisting God. Abstain from assisting God. Abstain from manufacturing your own miracle. What do you mean by that? Listen, God does not need, he's God by himself. He doesn't need my help. See, what happens a lot of times while we're waiting on God to move and he's not moving fast enough, sometimes I can kind of put my hands in it and begin to kind of try to help God out. But what God wants you to do is like in Psalm chapter 37, verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Take your hands off of it. Take your hands off of it. Kind of reminds me in the Bible of Abraham. You know, if you look back in Genesis chapter 16 and before that, God had told Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. and I'm going to give you a son. And he told this to Abraham and his wife Sarah, and that he was going to make them a great nation. He's going to give them a son. But you got to think, okay, Abraham's looking, man, I'm kind of up in years, man. I'm an old man. My wife is old. And you told me that. And the time is because Abraham, again, he's looking on time. If it, remember, God sits outside of time. He said, okay, God, the time is ticking. Sarah's like, the time is ticking. I'm already old. I don't see how this is going to happen. So if you go back and look in Genesis 16, verse 1, he says, now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children, so go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. God said, no, I got a plan that I'm going to build a nation through the two of y'all. And they're saying, well, God, let us help you out. You say you're going to make them a great nation. You must mean something else because this looks impossible. I'm telling you right now, when you're waiting, you need to abstain from assisting God. He doesn't need any help. Why is this so important? Whenever you put your hands to try to help God out, we make trouble for ourselves. What happened? Abraham said, okay, Sarah, sounds like a good idea. You know, she got a young, fine Egyptian princess, a servant. I guess that may be what we're supposed to do. So Abraham goes in, he sleeps with Hagar, he has Ishmael. And from that point on, there's nothing but turmoil between the nations, between the families, because what you had, one was a child of the promise. Abraham's son, which would be Isaac, was supposed to be child of the promise, but he couldn't wait on the promise and he had to respond in his flesh, and all it caused was turmoil. And whenever you try to assist God and manufacturing your own miracle, when manufacturing a move of God, stop trying to manufacture a move of God. God is saying, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. I got this. I don't need your help. You got to abstain from assisting God. Stop trying to put your hands on it. And sometimes it can be so tempting. It can be so tempting. And we can get so used to it because it seems like it's too big. This deal seems like it was too big. Can you imagine? Abraham, Sarah, listen, I'm old, he's old. This seems impossible. So God, you must mean this. God said, no, I know very well what I mean. And I mean, watch, I'm going to do something, because when I do it, it's going to blow your mind and everybody else's mind. And it can only be explained that it happened through me. So that's why God said, don't put your hands on it, because I want to get all the glory. When you put your hands on it, when you try to start assisting God, then guess what? You and I could take credit. God said, no, I want you to abstain from assisting me. I'm God by myself. I don't need your help. I don't need your help. It's so easy to try to do this, man. I had a situation several years ago, man. I was in a financial situation. My car went out. My transmission went gone. And I needed a couple of thousand dollars to get it fixed. And at the time, like, I didn't have that extra disposable, whatever, how much it needs to be fixed. And I'm like, usually what I would be doing, okay, I'm going to sell this car. I'm going to go get another car. I'm going to do that. I got to figure out, I need my transportation. I'm starting to already get in fix it mode. And that's how we do. We get in fix it mode. Okay. I'm going to fix it. And God was telling me, Dwayne, I want you to wait. Just wait. Don't do anything. Just seek me. Worship me. Come into my presence. Understand that I have a cattle on 1,000 hills, and I know your needs, and I promise to supply your needs. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. I got you. I'm going to take care of you, and I want you to be still and wait patiently for me. You're always trying to fix it. Stop trying to fix it. I love the song, Work It Out. While you trying to figure it out, he's already worked it out. And I said, listen, God, I'm just going to wait on you. I ain't going to try to buy another car. I'm not going to try to do another hustle on the side. I'm not going to try to pick up another business, pick up some more hours, pick up anything else. I'm not going to do anything, but I'm just going to wait for you to provide what I need. What did I get? What happened? That week, I received a check that I thought it was a mistake, was almost exactly for what I needed to get the car fixed. When you wait, be patient, be still before the Lord, wait patiently for him, abstain from assisting God, because why? He wants to get all the glory. What you got to do while you're in your waiting room, While you're waiting on God, worship him and stop whining. Worship him instead of whining. As soon as you're tempted to complain, turn it into worship. As soon as you're tempted to whine, turn it into worship. Second thing, abstain from assisting God. When you sit like it seems like the time is going by, don't do it. Don't pull an Abraham and Sarah. Don't go to the handmaid. Don't go to the servant girl. Don't do that. Just say, God, you know what? You say you're going to do it. Let me be still, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. The next letter in wait is I. And as I thought about the letter I, there was a couple of things that came to my mind. We're going to stay on this I. Number one, what you got to understand in the waiting game, number one, it's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. That's what I want you to know. While you're waiting, you got to understand that it's bigger than you. And number two, next thing you got to do, the next thing about I is, guess what? It's not your season. Say, it's not your season. It's bigger than you. Sometimes God has us waiting because God is doing something bigger than just for us. Can you recognize that? That a lot of times that God puts you in a position where, man, why is it taking so long? It's because God said, behind the scenes, I got something I'm working that is not just for you, but it's for a whole lot of other people. See, we're waiting, even right now, while we're sitting here with the coronavirus, we're waiting, God, when can I get back to work? When can I get back to the stores? When God said, look, I'm doing something bigger. It's bigger than just you, Dwayne. It's bigger than just you. What he's done is said, now, guess what? I'm going to shut everything up and cause everybody to wait because now I'm going to allow my word, my gospel to get out in a broader sense than it could ever done before because I'm doing something bigger than just you. See, we always are so me-centered. I know I am. I'm me-centered. I don't like to wait. I mean, I'm sitting upset. I mean, have you ever been in traffic and somebody's standing on their horn behind you and they're just like, man, they're blowing at you and they don't understand that, look, you know, behind in front of you, there's somebody, there's two or three people in front of you. Like the people behind you are waiting. Don't understand that they're waiting because there's something bigger than just them. It's bigger than just me. And what you got to understand, there's a plan bigger than just you that God might be working on that has made, listen, you might be a part of it. You might just be a part in a grander plan, a bigger plan that God is working. I think about Joseph. If you all know the story of Joseph, Joseph knew what it was to wait. If you look in the book of Genesis and you see, especially towards the end in Genesis chapter 50, for those of you who may not be familiar with the story of Joseph, Joseph and his brothers, you have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Joseph was one of his sons, was the son of Jacob. And Joseph's brothers did not like him. They were jealous of him because, you know, he was his daddy's favorite. And they didn't like him at all. So what they did, they were all out there and his dad had given him this special coat. And so one day when the brothers were out in the field, Joseph was sent out there to check on his brothers and they saw him coming and were hating on Joseph. They didn't like him. So they threw him in a pit. And long story short, they sold him to some slave traders and they sold him into slavery. He ended up to be a slave all the way in Egypt. While he was in Egypt, he was such a man of good character that he got in good with all the people there. And he worked his way up to being one of the top servants in the person who was in second command in the land of Egypt. His name was Potiphar. He was like one of the top servants in his home. Well, while he was in there, he was a great worker. Potiphar's wife liked Joseph, so she kind of started coming on to him. And as she was coming on to him, Joseph was a man of noble character. He said, man, you are my boss's wife. I'm not going to fool with you. So she accused him of a crime he didn't commit. She accused him of sexually assaulting or raping her. And he ended up in jail. Long story short, this man ended up in jail. He was promised by some people in jail that they were going to put a good word in for him. They never put a good word in for him. They forgot him. And by the time they finally did, he'd been locked up for so long that, you know what? He could have been bitter. I've been waiting. God, I didn't even do anything. How many of you have been waiting? Said, Lord, I've been trying to do what God, you've called me to do. Joseph, if you look in the book of Genesis and to see the story of Joseph, Joseph has waited. He got thrown in a pit. He ended up being in prison. And now finally, somebody remembered him. And when Joseph got out after interpreting the Pharaoh's dream, and he ended up, guess, being second in command in all of the land, he ended up doing, going through all of that. And while he complained, while he could have complained, he didn't. He didn't. He maintained his character. And the same brothers that ended up, that threw him into that pit and sold him into slavery, guess what? Those same brothers were going to need him down the line. And I say all of that story to say that sometimes God has you in a waiting pattern. Sometimes God puts you in situations that seem uncomfortable because what he's doing is something bigger. If Joseph hadn't waited, if Joseph hadn't been where he was, he would not have been in position to save his entire family. And through his family is where the Messiah came through. God was doing something bigger that had nothing to do with Joseph. What he was looking at was you and I. It's because of what Joseph did, because Joseph waited, now that line was preserved and our Messiah was able to come through there. Man, do you understand that you got to understand it's bigger than you? Whatever God is doing right now, while you're waiting, while you're sitting in that place, you're waiting on your mate, God is saying, that's bigger than you. I got a plan that I'm working outside of you. That's what you, one thing you got to remember. God, I can't see. He sits high. He looks low. He sees the end from the beginning. He knows he got plans for you, for good and not for evil. Like I told you earlier, Jeremiah 29, he's got plans for you. And his plan sometimes is not just about you. You're just a small part of a bigger plan. And that's why sometimes he has us waiting. It's bigger than you. But not only is it bigger than you, but guess what? Sometimes he has you waiting, not because it's just bigger than you, but sometimes he has you waiting because of what? Then it's not your season. Sometimes he has you waiting because it's not your season. You know, Psalm chapter 1, we talked about Psalm chapter 1 several weeks back. And he says, listen, the person who delights in the Lord, he's like a tree planted by the streams of water that brings forth fruit in season. You know, when you look at fruit, all fruit has a specific season in which it's harvested. And what sometimes when that, if you look at a tree, if you look at an apple tree, the apples may not be on the tree all year long. You know, I was reading an article about apples in the state of New York. State of New York is the largest, produces more apples, second largest state in production of apples behind Washington State. And when I looked at it and saw that apples are produced from August until around the third week in August till around Thanksgiving. That's their time. That's that harvest time. But other than that, outside of that, that's not apple time. But the apples may not be on the tree, but it's still an apple tree. But it's not its season. So there's a time of waiting. Those people who farm apples, or those people who plant those kind of trees, they gotta wait. There's a time period where they gotta wait and for the apples to come. But guess what? It's not the season, but there's certain things that are going on during the off season. What you got to understand, you might be in a waiting period because it's not your season. It's not your season for the harvest. It's not your season for the fruit. It's not your season for that miracle or for what God is doing. But there's something God is doing in this off season. And if you look at apples, I was reading up on apple trees, what they do in the off season. The fruit is produced from the third week in August until around Thanksgiving. And from that time forward, you know what goes on? Pruning. They're pruning the trees. They're prepping the trees. They're making sure that there's no bugs in the trees. It's just pruning. All that goes on until right around the springtime. They're pruning these apple trees, cutting them back, cutting stuff away that shouldn't be there until the springtime. Then they got to get ready. It's almost time for the harvest again. And I'm here to tell you this morning, guess what? While you're waiting, it may not be your season. And while you're in your off season, what God is doing, he's pruning you and he's preparing you. He's got some stuff that he's preparing you for your season. So don't complain, because even though you're waiting, God's still doing the work. He's still doing the work. What you got to do in your waiting, worshiping him instead of whining. You got to worship him instead of whining. You got to abstain from assisting God. He don't need no help. Don't try to manufacture your own miracle. And the eye, what you got to understand, it's bigger than you and it might not be your season. God might have you waiting because, listen, It's bigger. He's doing a work that's larger than you. He might have you waiting also because it's not your season. It's not your time to shine. He's doing something else. But in this off season, what he's doing, wants to do, he's pruning. It's a time of preparation. It's a time where God wants to cut some stuff away so that he can prepare you for the harvest. So you can bring forth fruit in the time in which you're supposed to bring forth fruit. But the last letter in wait is T. Last letter in wait is T. And that simply is trust God is working in your waiting. Trust God is working in your waiting. What you got to understand is there's right now that even though this, like I said, it's not your season, but while you're waiting, God's still working. Just like I told you about the trees. And that was off season. The harvesters, the people, the planters, they're working. They're cutting the back stuff. They're preparing that tree so that it can be ready for harvest. And trust that God is working in your waiting. And while you're waiting, sometimes you can get tired in your waiting. I don't know if you're here, if you're listening to me, and you've been waiting on God to do something for you. You've been waiting on God in your finances. You've been waiting on God for a move in your marriage, for God to move on the heart of your spouse. You've been waiting on God to save somebody that you've been praying for. It's been something you've been praying and seeking God for years and years, and it doesn't seem like it's coming. What he's calling you to do, to trust God that he's working in your waiting. I want you to look at one of my favorite passages in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. This I want to close with the scripture. Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. Isaiah 40, 29 through 31 says, he gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want you to trust that God is working in your waiting. You're waiting on God to do something great in your life. And guess what? It can be hard. It can be difficult. It can be challenging. But what God says, listen, in the middle of it, he promises, he says that they that wait on him shall renew their strength. That while you're waiting and trusting God, if you would just take the time to worship him while you're in your waiting room, if you would take some time to get on your face and become more intimate with God, what he promises to do is renew your strength. He said, you'll mount up with wings like an eagle, run and not get weary, walk and not faint. When you trust God, when you put your trust in God, and trust that God is working in your way. And guess what? He'll renew your strength. He'll renew your perspective. And guess what? If you lean on and say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe what you say. He still may not. It still may be some years before you get your answer. But guess what he'll do? He's going to renew your strength while you're waiting on him. He'll help change your perspective, and you'll be able to appreciate drawing closer to him, becoming more intimate with him, and see that God, you're working patience in me. You're teaching me some humility. You're building character. He's building character in you. And as you do that, now you're prepared for the harvest. You got to be prepared. He's preparing you for the harvest to reap to produce the fruit that he wants to put in your life. Just keep waiting on him. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? God, I'm going to wait on you. That's what God is calling you to do this morning. I don't know what it is you've been waiting for. I don't know. I don't know if it's a financial miracle. I don't know if it's a spouse. I don't know if it's healing in your body. I don't know if it's direction for your career, for somebody, a loved one that you've been praying that they would give their life to Christ. But I'm here to tell you, God said, listen, just worship me while you're waiting. I don't need no help. Come, avoid trying to help me out. Put your hands off it. He said, just be still. Wait patiently for the Lord. That's all I want you to do. Avoid, abstain from assisting God. Recognize that, guess what? It's bigger than you. I got a plan that I'm working that it exceeds you. It's not just about you. I'm doing something bigger than you. And maybe it's not your season. Just wait patiently. I'm preparing you for something greater. It's not your season. And then finally, trust me. Trust God. Trust that God is working in the waiting. And what he's going to do, he'll renew your strength so you can mount up on wings like eagle. Run, not get weary. Walk and not faint. Listen, if you want to be able to listen, to be able to ask God, to God, help me to wait patiently for you. You may be listening to me today and say, Pastor Wayne, it's hard. And I'm guilty. I know I've been guilty of trying to assist God and trying to help God out. And you're telling God, Lord, give me the patience to wait for you. Help me, forgive me for complaining, and help me to just spend some time worshiping you as I wait and watch what you're going to do. I want to close with this. I heard the story of a little boy. Little boy went to the store with his mom, and she walked in the store, and the store owner walked out and said, hey, son, would you like some lollipops? And he had this big container of lollipops, and he told him, stick your hand in and get a handful, as many as you can grab. And you know what this little boy did? He held back, and he didn't do it. He sat and waited. And the mom's looking at him, and the store owner's looking at him, and the little boy just sits, and he looks at the store owner, and he just doesn't do anything. So finally, the store owner sticks his hand in the jar and grabs a handful out, gives them to the little kid, and the kid takes them. And they go on about their business. And then they leave the store. Mom looks at her son and says, well, what made you hold back? Why didn't you grab the lollipops? And he looks at his mom with a straight face and said, Mom, his hand is bigger than mine. You know, doesn't that remind you of God? Isn't that a great lesson in waiting? This little boy said, listen, I waited. Because if I stick my hand in it, I'm only going to get a little bit out. But if I let him stick his big hand in it, he's going to grab way more than I can get. God is telling you today, wait on him. When we wait on him, guess what? When we avoid sticking our hands in the situation and just getting limited out of it and just wait for our big sovereign God to intervene, man, he's going to get way more out. He's going to pull out way more blessing, way more direction for your life, way more provision than you ever could manufacture on your own. That's our lesson today. Wait on God. Worship instead of wine. Avoid, abstain from assisting God. He doesn't need our help. Recognize it ain't about me. It's bigger than me. And it's not my season. And then finally, trust God is working while you're waiting. Watch him do some great things in your life. Can I pray with you real quick? Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for all those who are watching today. I pray for my brothers and sisters. There's somebody today who's been waiting on you. God, there's somebody today who's getting grown tired in their waiting. Lord, help them not to stick their hand in the situation, to refrain from doing it, and let you, Father, intervene on their behalf and do great and mighty things that they don't know. Help us, Lord God, help that person who's in pain while they're waiting to see that you sit outside of time and you're concerned about their situation. And then, Lord God, that you will give them the strength, that you will renew their strength as they wait on you, that they'll mount up on wings as eagles, they'll run and not get weary, walk and not faint. Reward the waiting. Help us to worship you in this season of waiting. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if you've been watching us today and you've never started a personal relationship with God, you're not sure where you stand in your relationship with God, it's so important that you get that right. We want to be certain that if you don't know who Jesus Christ is, if you've never come to know him as Lord and Savior, if you're not sure you'd spend eternity with him, you can be sure today. All you have to do is admit to God that you're not perfect. Believe that Jesus Christ was the solution for our sins, the solution for our imperfection, and then make the choice to invite him into your life, forgive you of all your sins, and make you who he wants you to be. If you'd like to make that decision, invite him into your life for him to be Savior and Lord of your life, to have the confidence to know that he's forgiven you of all of your sins and give you a home eternally with him in heaven and show you how to live abundant life on purpose here on earth. If you want that certainty, can you pray this after me? Just say, Dear God, thank you for loving me. I admit to you that I'm not perfect, that I've fallen short of your glory. I believe that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me and that he was buried and rose again. Today, I invite you to come into my life, forgive me of all of my sins, and make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you made that decision, congratulations. I want to welcome you to the family of God. Listen, he says now that he'll give you eternal life. You'll never perish. But now what he wants you to do is find out how you need to walk, find out how you can grow and live this life, this new relationship. So I want you to text the word next, NEXT, to 301-804-2520. Also, send me an email, PastorDwayne@EncounterChurch.net, so we can connect you with somebody that can help you on your and let you know what next step you need to take in your walk with God. Thank you for watching us today. I'm excited. Listen, wait on him. Wait on him. He's going to do great and mighty things that your mind could have never conceived. Wait on God and watch him move in a mighty, mighty way. God bless you guys. See you next week.